The statistics are harrowing. One in four girls and one out of six boys will experience sexual violence before the age of 18. Figures are high for adults as well. Yet despite those numbers, less than half of those report the crime. Even when they do, very few of the accused see jail time. And a culture of blaming the victim still exists. Experts say one of the deterrents that keeps victims from coming forward is a fear of the judicial system. And once they do come forward, navigating it can be a difficult and arduous process. At least it was for 23-year-old Brittany Dukes.
I have been in a court battle for the past almost 3 years now, between just courts being postponed, having hung juries. It's been almost more difficult to go through the court process than it was to actually go through the abuse.
Dukes was sexually abused by her stepfather, Nathaniel Banks, from the time she was 11 until she left for college. With the abuse came secrecy. She told her mother, who denied it was happening. And for Dukes also came self-destructive behavior.
When it first started happening, I felt like it was my fault that I had some way triggered this or did something to make him feel the need to do that. For years, I just battled with, just hating myself. And, I went through, eating disorders and, I used to be a cutter. I mean, I just gone through a lot of different mental things throughout this.
With sexual violence can come all kinds of mental health issues, says Allison Hall, director of Pittsburgh Action Against Rape, or PAR. Every year, PAR sees 2,500 children and adults. Hall says the majority of the adults were victims of sexual violence who didn't deal with the issue until later in life.
They could have pushed it out of their head, had other coping skills. I mean, a lot of times in sexual violence trauma victims, it is common for victims to potentially abuse alcohol, abuse drugs, eating disorders, become workaholics, have persistent relationship problems, boundary issues, trust issues. There's a reason they call it the most costly crime to society, because of all the mental health issues that a victim can experience.
And in addition to mental health issues, there are those legal issues. Hall says reliving and recounting trauma for police officers, lawyers, judges, and juries can be grueling. She calls the judicial process exhaustive and unfriendly.
The process is not a warm place. I mean, a lot of times it's a he said, she said. Today's jurors, they talk about the CSI effect, and where is all this definitive proof? Where is all the DNA? And where is all of that? And, sometimes that doesn't always exist.
There's also a considerable amount of victim blaming that goes on.
The assumption is, if something happens to you, of course you would report that to the police, and of course you would go to court, and of course that offender would be found guilty, and then, face many, many years in prison, and that really is not the way it happens all the time.
According to the Department of Justice and the FBI and the National Center for Policy Analysis, out of every 100 rapes, 46 get reported to police, 12 lead to an arrest, 9 get prosecuted, 5 lead to a felony conviction, and only 3 will spend even a single day in prison. Allison Hall says although the courts in Allegheny County are progressive in some ways, for example, there's a specialty court for sex offenders, those numbers still mirror reality here.
We've actually had one counselor, an advocate who obviously goes to court with victims, and she has been here for quite a while, but it took 3 years before any of her clients found that she heard a guilty verdict in a courtroom. And this is somebody that's in court probably every week.
After Dukes reported the abuse, she was led to free counseling at the Center for Victims in East Liberty. They help victims of violent crime.
Everything's kind of exploding all at once. So I was really scared to come to therapy for the first 2 months. And then my therapist actually called me and asked me to come down. And from that point on, I've just been coming to see her.
Dealing with her feelings there helped her deal with the years-long court process and dealing with a childhood and adolescence marred by abuse and secrecy.
For me, a lot of kids my age, were focused on, what's going on with them in school and their friends and, you know, just the normal teenage things, where my biggest concern was trying to get through the night, you know, without having something happen to me and be able to wake up and go to school the next day and have the energy to do all that while still staying up frightened all night worried that I'm going to be molested.
Mary Volkar is a trauma therapist there. The therapists there say as much as they see victims of street violence, they also see victims of sexual violence. There's just more of a stigma in speaking about it, which can exacerbate trauma.
The thing about being a victim of a crime is the level of powerlessness. And what we'll see is people who, the more powerless they were during the crime, the more likely they are to have trauma symptoms.
Duke says therapy there also helped her deal with the years of legal waiting. Scott Berkowitz, president of RAIN, the Rape, Incest, and Abuse National Network, says they don't have statistics for the length of the average sexual violence court case because laws and processes vary so much from state to state. But uniformly, he says, the system breaks down all along the way.
Part of it is, at the front end of the process, because most cases are never reported, there's just no opportunity for justice in those cases. But even once cases are reported, they're difficult to prosecute. A lot of them, even successful prosecutions, often get pleaded down. You know, it's interesting that the vast majority of actual convictions come as a result of plea bargains. So trials are fairly rare.
That's how Duke's case with her stepfather ended. After years of postponements and a mistrial, in late September, he pled guilty. A deal was worked out, a plea agreement, and he got 5 years probation for charges of indecent exposure, aggravated assault on someone under the age of 13, and endangering the welfare of a child. Her mother, in earlier court proceedings, was also found guilty of one charge of endangering of children. Dukes is content with the resolution and is moving on with her life. She has a job she likes and is planning an upcoming wedding. Mostly, though, she says she's happy that in some ways he took responsibility for his actions. I'm Erica Barris, 90.5 WESA News.